I would like to begin today by offering a minor correction, a minor but important correction to my sermon title as it is printed in the bulletin. Instead of what you see there, it should say informed and reformed in the cruciformed. The placement of the "and," as well as the addition of the words "in the," are important in making a distinction between us as individuals and a church who are continually informed and reformed in and through the one who was cruciformed, and rose from death. Thus, we are forever formed or cruciformed, continually being shaped and reshaped in the cross of Christ. I would also like to add a subtitle. So here we go. The whole title and subtitle is Informed and Reformed in the Cruciformed, Dying to What is False and Rising to What is True. Truth is an important and often repeated word in the Gospel of John. In today's Gospel reading from the 8th chapter of John, we hear Jesus say, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And Brother Christopher chanted that when we sung our gospel verse. If you think back to the opening narrative of the Gospel of John, you will recall the words, "And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." Oh, say it again. Full of grace and truth. There we go. There it is. Then later in the gospel, Jesus says to the ever-questioning Thomas, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Finally, towards the end of the gospel, when the beaten Jesus is being questioned by Pilate, Jesus says to him, "For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth." So, Mackenzie, Rachel, and Evelyn, I have news for you today. The fun pictures we saw of you projected on the screen just a few minutes ago remind us and remind you of something very important. Only you can live the truth of who you are. And since the time of your physical birth on this earth until today, you have been in the process of dying to what is false and rising to what is true, the true you that God created you to be. And this process will continue for the rest of your lives. Now, in the past, I imagine that has not always been easy, nor will it be in the future. But at times, it will be glorious. There are moments when you will think and say to yourself, "This is who God created me to be, and I am doing what God has called me to do." Those things that you put your whole heart and life and soul into, that affirm you and affirm the world, that are a blessing to you and a blessing to our world. And of course, that will be different for each of you, but you are equally wonderful, and it will be equally wonderful for all of you. In just a little while, you, Rachel and Mackenzie, in preparation for your baptism, and you, Evelyn, in affirmation of your earlier baptism, will, along with the whole congregation that surrounds you today, be asked to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church. This means that you, along with all of us, will renounce that which is false, that which defies the truth of who God is and the truth of who you are as a child of God. You will renounce the powers in this world that rebel against the truth of who God is and the truth of who you are as baptized people of God. Finally, you will renounce the ways of sin that draw you away from God, away from the truth of who God is, and that God loves you and will always love you, even when you fail yourself, fail your friends, fail your family, and fail God. God is not stopped by failure, sin, or death. Now, this part of the service is important because it reminds all of us that there are many false things in this world to which we are continually called to die. They are not always just little things, but sometimes they are strong powers which whirl around us and inside us. Anytime we feel we are not good enough, strong enough, or smart enough, these powers are working against us. When we are afraid of making mistakes and not being perfect, these powers are doing their work. When we become self-centered and so focused on ourselves, our own wants and desires that we forget others, we succumb to that which is false and destructive. When we see and taunt others' faults, but refuse to see and confess our own faults, we are like a tree that may look strong on the outside, but is rotten on the inside. Keep us from living freely in the truth of who God created us to be. The good news, though, is that God gave us the gift of baptism. Through this sacrament, we die with Christ to all that would entrap us and keep us from that truth of Christ which frees us. In this regard, it might be good to remember something important that Martin Luther said about being trapped by sin and freed by grace. Said Luther, "If grace is true, you must then bear a true and not a fictitious sin. God does not save people who are only fictitious sinners. Be a sinner and sin boldly, but believe and rejoice in Christ even more boldly. For Christ is victorious over sin, death, and the world." So it is that on this day, when we give thanks for the work that Martin Luther did to reform the church of the 16th century, we also remember that Luther did indeed continue to sin boldly. Towards the end of his life, he wrote vitriolic words about Jews, which Nazis and anti-Semites to this day use to justify hatred and bias towards our Jewish neighbors. Thus, on this day in Corvallis, when we all are graciously invited to celebrate with the Jewish faith community the completion of their new meeting house just down the street from us, we do well to also recall that in 1994, The ELCA, our church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, adopted a declaration from our church body to the Jewish community. It says, in part, and I quote, "In the spirit of truth-telling, we who bear Luther's name and heritage must with pain acknowledge also Luther's anti-Judaic diatribes. We reject this violent invective, and yet more do we express our deep and abiding sorrow over its tragic effects on subsequent generations. Grieving the complicity of our own tradition within this history of hatred, moreover, we express our urgent desire to live out our faith in Jesus Christ with love and respect for the Jewish people. Finally, we pray for the continuing blessing of the Blessed One upon the increasing cooperation and understanding between Lutheran Christians and the Jewish community." This statement is an example of our church renouncing the forces that defy God. In so doing, we become informed and then reformed in the painful yet freeing cross-shaped life of Christ. We die to that which is false and rise to that which is true. So Mackenzie and Rachel, as you are baptized today, and Evelyn, as you affirm your baptism, remember that you are baptized into a church that is always in the process of reforming, so that we are freed to be the child of God and the people of God that sing a new church into being. We celebrate the gifts that each of you have already brought to join us in proclaiming the liberating truth of the one who makes us disciples and continues to call us into lives of love and truthfulness. Amen.